Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church of Robbinsville. Thank you for joining us. We trust that the teaching of God's Word will speak to you.
All right. Good morning again, church family. How we doing? Smiling faces. Everybody's fired up. Proverbs chapter 8. We will begin where we left off last week, and this time in the middle of Proverbs chapter 8. If you have a Bible and you would like to turn there or grab a Bible off the back of the pew in front of you, we'd love for you to do that. If you're visiting with us today, we're so thrilled that you are here. This text does not come at random, but this comes as a continuance of our studies and pursuit this year of God's wisdom as a church, acknowledging that the world is not hiding. The world is in no way holding back the intense, dark, crooked, evil, anti-Jesus ways of thinking, and that it's trying to pour into us to shape our minds. And what we want and what we need more than anything is God's wisdom stored up in our hearts and guiding our lives. And so we begin today in the middle of Proverbs chapter 8. We'll kick off in a minute in verse 22. But I want to begin by asking you to think about, when would you, with lots of excitement in your heart and in your voice, when would you find yourself saying these three words? I was there. I was there. I saw it. And there's a lot of circumstances, and if we could go around the room, I'm sure everybody would have an I was there story. Whenever a daddy witnesses the birth of his first child, he's cheering on his wife, and he's there, and he holds that child up. I mean, he was there. He's so excited to tell everybody about it. Whenever maybe you as a child, you have a big camping trip or a hunting or fishing story, you're just so excited to tell somebody what you witnessed and what you experienced. And then for the sports fans in the room, how many of you have, you know, you went to a big game, you went to a big event, maybe you were in the game, and you were just so thrilled. You knew somebody was watching. You knew they were in the stands. And you were there. They were there. And you shared that experience. Well, I'll tell you one of my big experiences from many years ago. In 2006, I was on my fifth and final year at Appalachian State. Yes, I said fifth. 5 years and three summers, to be exact. Don't judge. And so it was December of 2006. And look, if you're a Western Carolina Catamount alumni fan, look, don't let our rivalries hinder this moment, okay? I know there's a lot of you here, but there's about five of us App State people here. So anyway, I was there, fifth and final year. It's December, and me and my track buddies got up early that morning. We did our workout because everybody in Boone was leaving to go from Boone, North Carolina to Chattanooga, Tennessee, because our football team was in the national championship. And we were so excited, we wanted to get there and get there early. And all the way down, you saw those little, you know, yellow app flags hanging out people's windows. And every time you did, you rolled down your window and you're like, yeah, let's go. And, you know, it's a fun moment. But what was so cool is whenever you walked into the stadium, if you were an App State fan, they gave you this little Santa hat. And the Santa hat had ASU on one side, and on the back side, it had the date, December something, 2006, and then it had these three words, I was there. And it was such a fun way that if we were about to witness history, everybody would have some item to remember it, and they won that night, and it was just, you know, it was awesome. You called everybody and you hooted and hollered all the way home. And it was just a big deal in our lives. And I knew some of the football players and from FCA and the coach from church. And so it's just one of those moments where on the field, you meet each other when the game's over and you're just slapping whoever has yellow on. Nobody cares because we're all just there. And we're there and we're excited. And so, you know, we've had those moments in life. Well, keep that in mind. As when you look back at how Ben introduced this text last week and really the overall theme throughout the book of Proverbs, we're reminded that the book is talking to the reader, the audience, in this case, Solomon's son, for us today, the reader. And the book of Proverbs is describing what it's like to live pulled in two different directions, to be stuck between two different decisions that are opposing each other, feeling stretched in life. And the book continues to identify, what does foolishness look like? And he referred to her last week as Lady Folly, because Lady Wisdom, which is God's wisdom personified in this poetic written Hebrew letter, Lady Wisdom has a lot of things to say about Lady Folly, because Lady Wisdom wants us to see and know what she's like so we don't give in to her. Well, all throughout the book, it's as if wisdom, Lady Wisdom, is competing for our hearts. And today, as we continue in this text, Lady Wisdom is going to try to go above and beyond to say, I was there. There is a there that I was at that separates me from Lady Folly in such a way that if you let this sink in, you will never stop pursuing me. I'll win your heart and we will be in love forever. And so watch as Lady Wisdom does this. So please, if you would, looking at verse 22 of Proverbs 8, stand with me in reverence and in honor for the reading of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, infallible word as Lady Wisdom, God's wisdom, fights for our attention and fights for our hearts. Verse 22 says this, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I have been established from everlasting. From the beginning, before there was ever an earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. And when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. Let's pray. Father, let us hear from you. Let us feast upon what your word has said and the wisdom that your word has invited us to. Help us to remember this. When life feels out of control, when life feels chaotic, when life feels like we can't see tomorrow for the thing that's right in front of us causing us havoc, let us remember, wisdom is calling out to us, and wisdom is available, and wisdom can bring order to our chaos. We pray this in Jesus' name, and amen. So that was a little much. That was quite the paragraph, but let's talk about it for just a second. From a worldly point of view, this looks pretty cool. If you were a man, keep in mind, from a worldly point of view, if a man had two women fighting for him, he's the man. You know, and I know there's some ladies out there that they view dating as a game, and they love it. If two or three or four or 17 guys would just all love to date them, it's just like, oh, it's just, you're fluttered. But, you know, from a parent's point of view, this is a little different. From a parent's point of view, you, like Ben said last week, you want your son to not fall victim to Lady Folly. If you're a daddy and this is your daughter, you're looking at your daughter and you're looking at your shotgun, and you're saying, look, honey, if I need to introduce Mr. Folly to Mr. Shotgun over here, then maybe you just want to load one in the barrel and let him hear the, you know. You are ready to fight for your daughter. You want to make sure your daughter doesn't fall for Mr. Folly. But the reality is, from a spiritual point of view, it doesn't work that way, does it? At the end of the day, the person that's being pulled, you and I are being pulled by folly and by wisdom. The choice comes down to us. The choice comes, and it's really, this is a choice. This is a battle win that we're in every day. And it's a decision that we're constantly having to make from our hearts. So I want you to think for a moment how wisdom just went out on this extreme boast. Wisdom began to brag from a, I'm fighting for your heart point of view. I want you to see that I'm best for you. When life is difficult and when life is going really well, I'm still the best. And so let's begin here and let's say this. God's wisdom boasts to win our hearts. This is a love relationship. Verse 17 that Ben read last week said, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Now think about that. If every person you ever had a crush on fell right back in love with you and had a crush on you, now wouldn't that be interesting? You remember being in middle school? Sorry if you're in middle school and this is awkward. But you remember being in middle school and you had a crush every time she walked by, you're like, whoa. And I know, and some of the girls, you're in middle school and when he walked by, you're like, huh. You know, you kind of had the flutter thing, you know. Now, wouldn't it be so challenging if every time you had a crush on someone, whether it's the Hollywood or the country singer, they just automatically loved you? That would really cause a lot of chaos in this world, right? But with wisdom, this is verse 17 tells us, I love those who love me. Whoever falls in love with me, I'm already in love with you. And this is not going to cause everything to go into chaos. So wisdom is fighting for your love, is fighting for our hearts. And wisdom just went on a long boast. And I want you to think about the words that I had underlined in that text. It's on the screen. It's the words before and the words when. When you see a continuous repetition of the words, the text is trying to say, hey, pay attention here. There's one big overarching message that I'm trying to communicate here. So wisdom is really saying before, Genesis 1:1, I was brought forth. Before God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, God was already in his wisdom creating and thinking about a way that everything is going to work whenever he starts bringing it forth. And then wisdom says, so when God started putting everything together and creating, wisdom says, I was there, I was with him, I was beside him, I was watching, I was a part of it all. Now, this is important. Back at that Appalachian State game, think about this. You know, some of you went to the Braves World Series. I saw you there last year. At the game, I was there, but I wasn't a part of what was really happening on the field, right? When we witness these big events, the game would have not had a different outcome if I had not been in the stands screaming and hooting and hollering, right? Because I was a fan, I wasn't a participant. Really, what wisdom is trying to help us to see is what life was like from the players and the coaches on the field. If you interviewed the players and coaches, they could tell you a before and a when story. They could each tell you a story of before life before football. And then when they got introduced to football and when they fell in love with it and when they started playing or coaching and when they made it to the collegiate level, they could tell you all the things that took place in their life before that big day. That's what wisdom's trying to do. Wisdom is saying, look, I have experience about cause and effect, about how things work, and about what God will bless and what God will not bless, and how God will put your life in order that Lady Folly has no clue about because she ain't been there, done that. But I've been there, done that, and I got the t-shirt. So now, I want you to think about this. The text didn't say, you, the reader, hate chaos. But within the text is trying to say to us in this big, large paragraph, I want you to think about it. You love order, and you don't like chaos and confusion. Think about this for a moment. The text talks about God creating the earth. Now, how many of us woke up this morning and said, wow, the earth is 90 million miles from the sun. I hope today we don't drift a little too close and get a little too much heat and start to melt. a little further away, and we don't get enough heat, and we begin to freeze to death. None of us thought it. We just appreciate the sun came up, and all's cool. None of us today said, when we woke up, I hope that the earth, which is spinning on its axis and orbiting around the sun, I hope that the earth doesn't just stop spinning on its axis. And we just get 100 hours of daylight or 100 hours of darkness. We just accept it every day, right? None of us thought, well, the earth is tilted at a 23.5 degree angle towards the sun. I hope we don't flop over to a 90 degree angle or then flop back to a 180. That would kind of throw things off a little bit. We all appreciate every day the sun rises and sets on the good and evil. Jesus said that. The rain falls on the good and evil. God's order from his wisdom, it just falls and it happens and we accept it. But then in this paragraph, wisdom focused intently on two things, land and water. Now, again, think about this. This is so good, especially for kiddos. But here's a picture of the water cycle. We kind of all grew up with this, and we learned about it maybe in third grade, seventh grade. We never stopped learning about it. But wisdom is saying, look, when God set these things in order, and water begins to evaporate, and then the clouds get it, and then it begins to precipitate, and it runs off into streams, creeks, and lakes, and then eventually back into the ocean, sometimes into groundwater. None of us woke up today and just said, wow, I don't know what I'd do if the water cycle stopped working today. But what wisdom is saying, when you get into all the details of how God designed all this to work, it works together. It works in order. It works in harmony. Some of us, since the day we were born, we've been walking outside. We've been sticking our heads down in a branch, and we've just been gulping water, haven't you? Come on. Where's Eric? Come on. There you go. Got a few. There you go. Dylan. Okay. Some honest people here. Lizard backwater. That's what we call it. But we just appreciate it. But look, if all the fish in the stream just went to the lake, there'd be a lot of fly fishermen upset. If all the fish in the lake just out of the chaotically went upstream, Kyle Garland and the rest of you lake fishermen, you would be so upset. But these are things that we just accept. They happen every day. And wisdom is saying the way God designed all of this to work is pointing us to the greater, the good, and the order that he wants to work in our lives. So I'm building this up, obviously, to make a statement. If we begin to get more practical, you would say this, and I would say this. When the laundry's out of control at your house, you don't just look at it and say, gosh, I just love it when laundry's just everywhere. When the kitchen is turned upside down and when you get back from vacation, none of you says, it's my greatest joy to unpack from vacation and start cleaning. Whenever your tools are missing and whenever you put that thing in the oven and you realize, I left out a very important ingredient. And you're so frustrated. It feels so frustrated. And when you lay your keys or your wallet or your phone somewhere and you come back and it's not there, but you know it was right there. Somebody took it, and then an hour and a half later, you realize you actually put it over there, not right there. Those moments can just disrupt their day. We despise chaos. Well, look, watch this. God's wisdom is trying to help us to go back into Genesis, and there's an important word in Genesis 1:2 that says this. The earth was without form, and it was void. It was empty. The Hebrew word there is chaos and empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. But wisdom says, I want you to know this. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, if a person says to you, and if a person says to me, my life is so out of control, there's no way God could do anything with it. If the thought ever crosses your mind, my life is so messed up and my life is so out of order that it would take a miracle from God to get my feet on the right path, you can say and I can say, yes. He can, he will, he wants to, because God created beauty from darkness. He created order and purpose from an earth that was void and empty. God gives substance. When Jesus turned the water into wine, he gave substance and taste and goodness to water. Pots full of water. And everybody that began to drink that wine that day said, whoa. Normally at a wedding, you let everybody have the good at first, and then you save the filthy cheap stuff for the end. But you have saved the best for last. Jesus did what only God could do that day. He gave substance to something that was empty and void. So I want you to think of this. When we, the church, are cultivating an environment where God's Spirit is hovering in this place, God's wisdom is functioning in our lives, people that are lost and broken and lives are just every direction can come in and find purpose and find order and find harmony and find beauty, and we get to participate with God in watching it happen. God didn't create us to be fans. God didn't create us to sit in the stadium and say, go, go. God created us to get on the field. God lets us work together so that we can participate and see him get the win for the team. So now watch this. When we move into verse 32, wisdom says this. Notice the word therefore in verse 32. Therefore, wisdom is saying, hey, because of all of that, now this, I am able to bless your lives with happiness. Happiness is what everybody wants. Happiness is what pretty everyone is going after. And wisdom is saying, me and I alone, God and God alone, is able to bless our lives with happiness. So now think of this. Let's read the text, actually. Follow with me in verse 32. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed or happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. Notice again that God's wisdom puts the responsibility on us. He's available, he's willing, he's ready, he's able, he wants to, he's happy to. But he says, look, notice the verbs, listen, hear, watch, wait. Just hear God's wisdom again saying, look, if your life feels out of order, if your life feels chaotic, turn off the clutter, take out the earbuds, turn off the TV, get into the Word of God, get into the body, and have discussions about me because I'm ready to speak. Wisdom says this. If you're listening, I'm speaking. I want to ask you this personally. I want you to be real with me. Just in your heart of hearts, be real. When you wake up every day, just say to yourself and be honest with yourself. Do you, every day when you wake up, expect God to speak to you that day? If the answer is no, let today change that. If the answer is like, I guess maybe sometimes. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it. If the answer is anything but absolutely yes, when I wake up every day, there's a God in heaven who wants to speak to me. He just wants my listening ears and my attentive heart. Look, go no further today. This is not Rance's opinion or Ben's opinion. This is God's word. He says, I want the heart and the listening ears of my children. As parents, is that not what we want? We beg for that, don't we? We kind of do the little snap thing sometimes. But we want that attention, don't we? God's wisdom says this. I want you every day to expect to hear from me because I want to bless your life with happiness. That doesn't mean no suffering, no sorrow, no sickness, no bad days, no unexpected disaster, none of that. It's just in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the person that tries to cause havoc in our lives, God's wisdom says, I am more than able to bring blessing and happiness into your life by making you content in me, in God, in your relationship with God. So watch this. This is tough. This has been very personal for me again this week. If that's what God wants to do and the earth that he created works in harmony, wouldn't it make sense that one of the key things that wisdom is always trying to speak to in our lives is the areas in our life where we actually feed into our own chaos? Wouldn't it be sometimes in life, whenever we're making decisions, and maybe we're making them hastily, maybe we're making them without thinking or without praying, that wisdom says, look, you're undermining your own happiness, and I'm fighting for your happiness. So just think about this. When, as we're willing for him to speak into our lives, it gets so personal. Sometimes he might just be saying, look, the finances are out of control. Let me help you manage. Let me help you make good, wise decisions. There's friendships and relationships in your life that are distracting you from me, from God, meaning I need you to spend less time with them and more time with them. In fact, sometimes he just tells us, you got to break it off. Sometimes he just tells us, you got to break it off. Sometimes he tells us, look, there's people in your life that have become your crutch. You're dependent upon them to the point that you can't live life without them. I want you to live life dependent upon me so that as your life is in order, you can help other people that are broken and hurting without me. In other words, wisdom is always moving us to a place like Jesus did, where he meets us where we are, but he says, that's not where you want to be. I met a man last week. This is so great. He's a pastor's son. He's just so encouraging. I was talking to him about church, and he grew up, of course, in the church. His dad was a pastor, and he just said, this is so great. He said, look, my dad always taught me to lock people where they are, but to love them into where God wants them to be. I said, son, what your daddy has taught you has stuck with you. That's wisdom. That is amazing. Sometimes wisdom just guides us into the little things. He just takes us home, and he says, I want you to see what I see. And it just may be something so practical, like, let's keep the house in order. Let's clean the room. Let's take out the trash. Let's weed eat. Let's mow. Let's keep the home in order. Because when the home is in order, like the earth is in order, you're participating with God and bringing glory to his name. And don't you, now let's go here for a second. Isn't it true that when we follow the lives of, let's say, people that are in Hollywood, because isn't it true that sometimes what we're tempted to think in our lives is, if I had just more of this, if I just had a little bit bigger or better of that, man, our dishwasher about broke last week. We thought it was broke, and I got it fixed, and we thought, what are we going to do? No, it wasn't that dramatic. I can get kind of dramatic, but it was one of those moments like, well, I'm going to be scrubbing a lot of dishes. And then it started working. I was like, whoa, it's working. And, you know, isn't it true that sometimes in life, in the moment, we can think, if this stops working, oh, I'm in trouble. If the internet goes down, if the slides don't work, if the computer crashes, if this doesn't work, I'm in trouble. And our flesh tempts us to think we always need bigger, better, and more to make us happy. But think about Hollywood for a second. Isn't it true that Hollywood has all that? They have the fame that our flesh wants us to have. They have the fortunes our flesh wants us to have. They have the best bodies. I mean, they live to be 136 and they still look like they're 22, right? I mean, their face is stretched, and I mean, there's no wrinkles and just the perfect teeth. They have it all and do it all. But when you really look into the lives of people in Hollywood, what happens? What do you see? Not that we all do that, but chaos. Marriages are just falling all to pieces. Children are just all over the place. And on top of all that, there's a drug addiction that is just seems out of control. And then someone takes their life, and it's really sad and it's really tragic. Isn't it true that wisdom helps us to see people who have everything that sometimes we think we need to be happy are actually just as broken? That's why wisdom keeps telling us that gold, I can give you gold, but I can also give you what gold can never buy. And that's happiness. And happiness and blessing has no price tag on your life. Yesterday was such a neat day. I got to speak at Miss Anna Mae Hall's funeral, and she had the whole funeral home was filled with just her kids. Children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren, even a great-great-great was there. And just got to, for about an hour and a half, ask people stories, asking them about what it was like. And here, this blew me away. This blew me away. Do you know that everyone had a story to share? And everyone's story wasn't connected to any of those things. It was this. I'll never forget whenever she sewed my dress back together. I'll never forget sitting up playing checkers and doing stories. I'll never forget whenever she went out to the chicken house and got me some eggs. And I was 8 years old and I was so hungry. So she went and got another egg and I ate another egg. And then I ended up eating like 8 eggs. It was just amazing. This is amazing. Every story, and I'm just like, wow, that's this. Why do you think that sticks out to you? It was just things that you don't have to have money to buy. I just walked away saying, this is just so amazing. What everyone remembers, the happy things that people remember, was just the simple things that we can all have. The simple things that relationships give us with their mother and with their grandmother and great-grandmother. And so wisdom is saying, that's the order that I can give to your life. And here's the last big idea. God's wisdom will never blend our lives with heathens. Now that sounds kind of strong, but just watch me for a second, or watch this for a second. Read 35 and 36 and just notice the contrast in these two verses. For whoever finds me finds life, fullness of life, and obtains favor from Yahweh the Lord. But he who sins against me, the one who doesn't want wisdom wrongs his own soul. And all those who hate me love death. When you think about this, wisdom is simply saying there should always be a contrast between God's children and those that are dating and married to Mr. and Mrs. Folly. I want to bless your life and favor your life. This is not a prosperity gospel message, by the way. I know all about those. But wisdom is saying, I want to distinguish God's children from those who, heathens being the big idea of those who don't trust God, who reject God, so that, according to Jesus, our lives are driven with such purpose and such happiness that they're invited into the gospel and into Jesus. And people can say, and it's so good when they say, I know you from 5 or 10 years ago, but who are you today? I know you from last year, but what's happening in your life today? And you get to say, here's what God is doing in my life. So think of this with me. Just go there in your mind. When Jesus stepped into the scene, when the all-wise Son of God stepped into a chaotic, broken world, think about these four individuals with me. He met Matthew in his purposeless life. He met Matthew at the tax booth. He met Matthew right where he was, trying to find purpose in selling out his life against his people, but for Rome. And he said, Matthew, son of Alphaeus, Matthew, Levi, follow me. Follow. He spoke to Matthew. Matthew, you get your life in order, then maybe you'll be good enough to follow me. No, no, no. Matthew, I'm calling you out of chaos and into life. Follow me. Mary Magdalene, he met her where she was with 7 demons, covered in a life filled with darkness. He called her out of the darkness and into the light. Mary, I'm giving your life purpose and order now. Follow me. Peter, where did he meet Peter? Peter was empty. Peter, you've been fishing all night long. You're tired. You're empty. Your boat has nothing. You look like a failure, and this is what you do for a living. Follow me. Jesus met Peter where he was and said, step out of the boat from fish and let's go catch people. The woman of Samaria. He didn't say, look, I know you got 5 husbands. Your life is so screwed up that I don't go to the temple and figure it out. Woman at the well, he met her where she was, thirsty for water, and he said, I got living water. I got living water. I can meet you in your chaos. Follow me. And isn't it neat? Isn't it neat that in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, we get to see glimpses, especially of Peter. All these individuals could say, I was there. I was there when he called me out of darkness, out of chaos, and out of a purposeless life into his life, into a new life. And look, I got to tell you, I want you to believe every single Sunday, every single Sunday. I looked at Jennifer and I said, Jennifer, somebody's life is going to change today. I believe that. Because look, I grew up in church, you grew up in church, but there was a day, saved at 17, but in a college dorm at 19, whenever my RA, the guy who watches over your hall, he got kicked out. He got his partying with all the students, he got kicked out. There was a day, I'll never forget it, when the man who replaced him, the first thing he did, he started putting his stuff in that room. His name was Adam, started putting his stuff, and he walked out to the door and he put a big cross on the outside of the door. And I was like, you believe in Jesus? And he began a conversation that remained, took a little while, and he invited me to church. And when I walked in with him into the church, I'll never forget, not radical life change, but the beginning of change. I want us to believe that people, God is calling people into this place, and it's through you, it's through us together, one big team working together. God speaks purpose and love and compassion and order and grace into their lives. And they walk away and they get in their car and they say, I don't know what just happened. But God is in those people and God is in that place. And I feel him moving me and leading me to go back. And years later, together, we celebrate not what we did, but what he did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is you who works. It is you who glorifies the name of Jesus. Let the hearts of the people today cry out to you. Let us listen with our ears and let us invite you to speak into our lives right where we are. Right where we are. Thank you, God, that nothing is too much for you to handle and that you're always gracefully, patiently moving us into your presence if we're willing. Let the one who's never trusted the gospel waste no time today and come to the altar or come find a person, come find a friend, and come to Jesus and come to faith. Thank you, Father, that you allow us to be one big team and one big family, participating on the field with you, not in the stadium, but on out there in the game, listening to wisdom. We ask your blessing on this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you were encouraged by the teaching of God's Word. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, you can find us at www.robbinsvillefbc.org or call the office at 828-479-3423. God bless you and have a great day.